Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Fast am I. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Friday, 26th of June, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the news on the Isle of Man and background to the news. Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch, Travel Updates and the Newsmakers in person. It's day 37 of no new confirmed cases of C-19. We're no longer under the Emergency Powers Act now. The truth about the Jersey key workers who breached the rules. Ramsey Grammar School is ready for a second wave of the virus. The Bay Queen Hotel is to go. Ramsey Cottage Hospital's future is safe, says a Ramsey MHK. And when will the regeneration of the shopping centre in Peel actually start?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 6:29, the update news headlines. Fastamire, Ed Oldham.
Fastamire, there have now been no new coronavirus cases in the Isle of Man reported for 37 days in a row. Government has updated its latest figures with no active cases. The total number of confirmed ones remains static at 336. 21 people are awaiting results. Meanwhile, Ramsey MHK Dr. Alex Allenson says he feels it's a question of when the COVID-19 second wave reaches Manx shores, not if. Speaking on Manx Radio's Man in Line, Dr. Allenson says the experience of countries around the world adds weight to that opinion. Late night talk show presenter Stu Peters is to return to Manx Radio after allegations of racism sparked an independent investigation. A review by the Island's Communications Commission has ruled that Manx Radio did not breach broadcasting rules during the programme earlier this month. His return to the airwaves on Wednesday, July the 1st, though, will have the show no longer featuring live phone calls. Further afield, six people are being treated in hospital after being stabbed at a hotel in Glasgow city centre. One of those is a police officer who's in a critical condition. The suspect's been shot dead by an armed response unit. A witness report seeing people covered in blood being taken on stretchers from the Park Inn Hotel, which houses a number of asylum seekers and refugees. In other news, there's a warning against people taking liberties after social distancing rules were breached by many beachgoers in Bournemouth. Boris Johnson says that behaviour risks a serious spike in coronavirus infections. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Ed. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish sea weather indicates some strong winds out at sea for the next 24 hours on the island tonight. Cloudy with clear spells, overnight rain on brisk breezes, 12 degrees the overnight minimum temperature. For Saturday, Jasan, intermittent showers on the strong southwesterly up to 16 degrees. Low through the night into Sunday is 11, and Jaduni, blustery west or southwest winds bringing outbreaks of rain. Top temperature 14 degrees. Sunsets at 5 to 10 tonight. Low water 18 minutes past 10. High waters at 19 minutes past 4 a.m. Sunrise 13 minutes to 5. And the high water for Saturday morning is at 10:45. And remember, 9 weeks today, it's the 4-day bank holiday from the 28th. To the 31st of August.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674-573.
The Chief Minister of the Isle of Man has been to Government House to hand back emergency powers taken up when the COVID crisis took grip of the island. Howard Quayle told Timwell members this afternoon, as he's indeed told them on a number of occasions, that he had no pleasure in requesting the powers, which came in a 1936 Act. But circumstances, he said, have made it necessary. The island's been COVID-free now for 37 days, new cases, that is. As ever, Mr. Quayle used a quote to underline his point.
As Martin Luther King Jr. said, we are not makers of history, we are made by history. And these have been times that will be marked in our long and proud history. Mr. President, at the close of business and subject, of course, to the next order of business being passed, I will travel to Government House. I will invite His Excellency the Lieutenant Governor to revoke the proclamation of emergency. I will take great delight in doing so. My undertaking to our people was to step out of people's lives as soon as it was safe to do so. I am pleased that we have finally been able to deliver on this promise. Tomorrow the state of emergency may be no more, but I will never be complacent about the risks that remain. I know that it is unfeasible to think that we will not see more cases in the future, but we have, God willing, weathered the worst of the pandemic. Nevertheless, a host of challenges remain. We need to bring our health and care services back online as soon as we can, and I applaud the work that is already well underway. We need to get our economy back on track. We have ambitious plans that the Treasury and Enterprise Ministers will bring forward imminently. We need to ensure that none of our young people get left behind in their education. I'm delighted that every child who wishes to has now been able to return to school, and I'm pleased that almost all have decided to do so.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
24 minutes to six, a group of key workers from Jersey under investigation by police for allegedly breaching exemption rules were care home executives. It's been confirmed there were four people in the party who arrived on the island on the 17th of June and they've left since. An alleged breach relates to a meal they had in a public place. The details from Ewan Gorn.
The executives were from a group which operates a nursing home and care company on the island. On the 16th of June, they were issued exemption certificates by the interim CEO of the Department of Health and Social Care, Catherine Magson. Under the agreement, the group was only allowed to travel directly between their Douglas Hotel and a place of work. The alleged breach, however, relates to a meal they went out to have in a public place. The exemptions were granted as the company was increasing bed capacity at an island care home and had installed a new manager. The home, which was not named, was also due to receive a number of Abbotswood residents, so the visit was to ensure it was ready. The details were confirmed in Tynwald today by the Chief Minister. He said it's impossible for government to track everyone's movements.
I think we have one of the strictest regimes in place, and it's quite ironic that I've been criticised on numerous occasions by putting something as strict in place for the movement of people on the island, and here we are, we've got a breach, and I haven't been strict enough for some members, but we have to trust people, Mr. President. Obviously, if there's a breach, we will now review, should the police, because unless we know otherwise, you're innocent till proven guilty. Once, if the police come back with a report stating that a breach did happen and what they're going to do with it, then obviously we can review how we allow key workers onto the island to see what we can do to avoid this breach again, Mr. President. Thank you.
Chief Minister Howard Quayle. Well, the police investigation on the island was raised by media in Jersey, where there are still five active cases. Deputy Chief Minister of Jersey, Lyndon Farnham, was asked about the issue at a press conference this morning.
I deplore that sort of behaviour and would encourage islanders to act responsibly when they're visiting other countries as well.
Deputy Chief Minister of Jersey, Lyndon Farnham. And to confirm, police have said the investigation is underway.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next scheduled departure, the Fastcraft Mananan heads out at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for Heysham, arriving there at 12:15. Sunday morning's departure, by the way, due to tidal restrictions at Heysham, leaves an hour later at 11 o'clock, and the Fastcraft continues to operate the daytime sailings to Heysham. The motor ship Ben McCree provides our overnight freight service.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Peel commissioners will hold off on a response to plans to regenerate the town's main shopping area so they can properly consult with traders and the public. It comes after proposals for Michael Street went on display this week. Our local democracy, Aaron Ibanez, took a look.
Peel's main thoroughfare has reached the end of its useful life, according to the Department of Infrastructure, a point at which it is barely adequate for pedestrians. Unable to consult with businesses and the public because of lockdown, officers were on hand and in person at the town hall to share the vision which they say will inject a new lease of life for the area.
Scott Duncan, a design engineer with the Department of Infrastructure. So what we're looking at doing is we're looking at regenerating the area to really create a more pedestrian-friendly environment.
In terms of aesthetics, is this similar in terms of the regeneration to what we've seen in the likes of Parliament Street and on Strand Street?
It will be fairly similar. We're going to be using different materials. We'll be using a granite material that's sympathetic with the sandstone that's there currently. And then we're looking at a limestone for the actual curbs themselves to create that contrasting colour, which in itself will improve movement for the visually impaired.
Commissioner Hazel Hannan, however, isn't sold by the Chinese granite.
The products that they're using aren't sympathetic to peel. They wouldn't do this to Cornwall. Cornwall would keep their cultural assets, which are, you know, making somewhere different.
Meanwhile, Chairman of the Commissioners, Alan Jones, is a fan of the proposals.
I'm broadly in favour of a scheme to make the street more attractive to shoppers. You'll appreciate we're an old town. You need to have some vehicle access for the shops because they for deliveries, access for certain people who've got disabilities to be able to get in and do their shopping, as well as the need for pedestrians to use the premises.
Later at their meeting, the commissioners agreed regeneration was needed, but expressed discomfort at the lack of public and shopkeeper engagement. They decided to defer a response for the proposal for a fortnight so they could consult further with the public. As a result, the plans will remain on display in the town hall during this time.
Manx Radio's business briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
UK shopping centre giant Intu has entered administration, putting thousands of jobs in doubt. There have been long problems with Intu, which sought help for its £4.5 billion debt earlier this year. Shopping centres will stay open under the administrator's KPMG. The value of its centres fell by 22% in 2019 as they posted a £2 billion loss. Amongst others, it owns the Metro and Trafford centres, Lakeside, Maryhill and Cribbs Causeway. But shopping centre landlords rely on big retailers for their revenues, and they've been recently asking for rent reductions due to their own problems. The coronavirus lockdown worsened the situation. When UK retailers had to pay their 3 months forward rent to the 29th of September on Wednesday of this week, of the £2.5 billion due, 14%, only 14% was actually paid.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed mostly lower amid concern over surging coronavirus cases. The safe haven dollar rose as investors grew cautious about a resurgence in US coronavirus cases. Oil dipped, erasing earlier gains as concerns about rising new C-19 cases in the US and China rose. Gold prices edged up en route to a third straight weekly gain. In corporate news, Smiths Group was a standout gainer on the index, closely followed by the Spirax Sarco Engineering. On the downside, JD Sports Fashion under the cosh as they bought back Go Outdoors under a pre-pack deal. Traders pointing to negative read across from the quarterly results, also from Nike. The numbers at the close in London, the FTSE 100 was up a fifth of a percent at 6,159. The DAX in Frankfurt down just over half a percent at 12,096. In New York City at 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial down 2.25% at 25,155. The tech stocks index, NASDAQ, down 1.75% at 9,844. The S&P 500 down 2% at 3,025. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 23.3 cents and €1 10 cents. In commodities, gold up a tenth of a percent at $1,765 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude oil down 2% at $40.55.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather.
If
with
you're
Manx glass and glazing,
enjoying the water this weekend, the relevant information for sailors, kayakers, windsurfers, paddleboarders, divers or surfers. The coastal waters forecast says it will be unsettled this weekend with outbreaks of rain that may be heavy at times, especially tomorrow. Sea temperature is going to be 13 degrees across the weekend. The weather for Saturday, winds southeast 3 or 4, veering southwest 4 or 5, occasionally 6 tomorrow afternoon. Wave height 1 to 1.5 metres. Wave period 4 to 4.5 seconds. High water 6 minutes to 5 tomorrow afternoon. And on Sunday, The wind will be west or southwest, 5 or 6, increasing to force 7 at times. Wave height 1.5 to 2.2 metres, wave period 5 to 6 seconds. High water on Sunday is at 4 minutes to 6.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. manxglass.com.
There's no question as to the future of Ramsey Cottage Hospital, says one of the town's MHKs, Dr. Alex Allenson. He says the top-rate facilities, such as those on offer, tie in with the health service plan of taking provision out of the community, and RCH has proved its value in a number of key ways.
Number one, the facilities there that have continued, such as the dermatology clinics, have been very, very successful. The inpatient ward there has taken a lot of pressure off of Nobles Hospital in terms of decanting some of the patients up there to free up the beds for acute medical care. But also the minor injuries unit has become an all-Ireland facility. It always has been, but people didn't want to travel all the way up to Ramsey. It's a long way, apparently. Now, because they've been asked to, rather than going to A&E, they've appreciated the facilities there, and I think it's put them on far more on top of people's agenda. So I believe that the future of the College Hospital is absolutely safe.
Do you think that's a view shared throughout government and civil service?
I do. I mean, certainly talking to the Health Minister, there have never been any questions about the future of the College Hospital, and actually what we're looking at now is expanding the services that are available there. One of the issues with Sir Jonathan Michael's report and integrated care is all about bringing care to the person rather than dragging the person down to a facility for the care. And so if we can manage to provide more care in the community, but more specialist care closer to where people live, that has to be an advantage. I mean, the renal dialysis unit in Ramsey Cottage is absolutely first class, and it really serves the people of the north, but is now, I think, appreciated by far more people in terms of the quality of care it provides, because they've got fantastic staff there.
An iconic building in Port St Mary could disappear later on this year. The owners of the Bay Queen, once a popular hotel in the boom years of tourism, are waiting for the go-ahead to knock it down. Hartford Homes want to develop the site, which has lain dormant for 30 years. Our local Democracy reporter Aaron Ibanez spoke to Hugh Davidson, chair of the Russian Heritage Trust, who tells us what it means.
Well, the demolition application was approved as part of the planning approval, but Hartford Homes can't demolish the building until they've got all the technical approvals given by government departments, a massive raft of documents, building regulations, and a detailed process involving lots of different government departments. Now, those processes have been slowed down by the government's understandable preoccupation with COVID-19. So we don't really know the likely date of demolition, but it's an important part of the process. And as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the demolition, the better, because then the developers can get on with the main job of rebuilding the Bay Queen.
So very much the beginnings of a technical process, as you put. For those who perhaps don't have this connection with the Bay Queen, can you sort of describe why it's so dear to people in the South?
It's a receptacle of a multitude of happy memories. And many people still alive in Port St Mary and Port Erin worked there, and they got fantastic memories of it. It was one of the top resort hotels in the north of England from really the late 1920s to late 1960s.
Manx Radio Sport.
11 minutes to 6, Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai. Hot on the heels of Wednesday evening's event at Knockfroy, local motocross continues its post-lockdown resumption with a practice day at Ballygarrigan, Derby, on Sunday. Adult open class and youth classes at 85 and 65cc and autos are all available. Anyone intending to ride is asked to register in advance. The details for that are on this story on manxradio.com's news sport page. And members of the Manx Fell Runners Club dominated the competitive return of the sport in the Isle of Man this week. The Carrigan Fell Race was a short, sharp reintroduction to those who entered. A 4K race to the summit of the hill and back down to the start again. The first 11 finishers were from MFR, with Oren Smith winning in a time of 1 hour 6 minutes 49 seconds. Tom Kringle was second, almost 4 minutes back, with Joseph Bond a further minute behind in third. Organisers say there was a bumper entry, with the 158 runners representing more than double the usual numbers. And further afield, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp thinks he's lucky to be part of their Premier League success. The Merseyside club won their first top-flight title since 1990 last night after rivals Man City lost at Chelsea. In an interview with Sky Sports News, Klopp said his players can achieve even greater things because history is no burden anymore. Liverpool City Council says it will mark the Anfield club's Premier League triumph at an appropriate moment when the season ends, but they've confirmed there won't be a victory parade in the near future due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
The 4:30 departure to London City from Ronald's Way went 13 minutes late, and the 10:05 to Liverpool didn't depart till 9 minutes past 5. Inbound tonight then, 6:40 from Liverpool, 8 o'clock from London City. On the road, Gary Road, Lazare's got that emergency closure between the Lazare Road and Gary Ford due to the collapsed culvert. Once that work's completed, the bridge will be closed for 4 weeks at Gary Ford. On the Peel Road in Union Mills, three-way traffic signals for drainage works. Also, Ballacrane traffic lights, four-way temporary signals. People are playing cards there, apparently, for a cable installation replacing the existing lights. If you're at Ballacrane, you have my sympathy. In Laxey, Rensall Hill, Captain's Hill and Lurgic Graw are closed one at a time on a rotational basis for sewer repair works. And Maloo Road in Great Meadows got two-way traffic signals for stonewall and railing repairs. Look out also Douglas Promenade, Lock, Harris Central and Queens till the 14th of December, one-way northbound and associated waiting and turning restrictions. All the information at mypromenade.im and everything you need to know about travel at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Ramsey Grammar School said it's ready for a possible second wave of coronavirus. Since the return last week, the school's been asking teachers and students how well working from home's gone during lockdown. Over 90% of the pupils said they're happy to be back. Head teacher Annette Baker spoke to Rhianne Evans.
The important thing is to pick them up from where they are, not to catch up. That was a very strong message in their feedback. They didn't want to be placed under pressure to catch up. Hopefully this will never happen again. But basically, I thought it was very important that we should learn the lessons of what happened very quickly and be in a prepared position should this happen again. And we've been working very, very hard to support the students to make the very most of these 5 weeks, essentially, to make every minute count.
Can you elaborate on the kind of feedback that you've had? If there is a second wave, are there any specific things that you learnt from home learning during the lockdown that you would adapt or change if you do end up having to do it again?
Yes, well, it was very, very difficult to manage virtual systems, online systems, and to come up with new ones when everybody was existing in this virtual space. So what we found from the feedback, the strongest piece of feedback from the parents, certainly, was this expectation that we should be delivering lessons online live. Now, this posed us considerable problems because parents probably aren't aware, and I've tried to share that information with them now in this report, that there are huge data protection concerns and safeguarding concerns around live-streamed lessons, teachers delivering lessons from their homes into the homes of children. And we had to make sure that we had all the GDPR boxes ticked on that front. And that posed, I have to say, for me personally and for other colleagues, head teachers, considerable difficulties because the lines of communication, I have to say, supporting us weren't clear. Next time we will be prepared. The GTS colleagues are coming in next week to do face-to-face training with the staff, and we are ready for this if it happens again, and all of us sincerely hope that it doesn't.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
And you heard GDPR mentioned there. The government's in trouble. It's been fined over GDPR. The Department of Home Affairs has been fined £12,250 for repeated failure to supply all information it held on an individual. The Information Commissioner, Ian McDonald, told Tim Glover it's the first penalty imposed since GDPR was introduced in 2018.
It is, that's correct, Tim. This is the first time that, in 2018 we were given the power to issue fines for the first time. But this is the first time that we've actually exercised that power.
And roughly the case was an individual requesting information from the Department of Home Affairs.
It was. It was an employee of the department who exercised their right of access to personal data. That is, you know, basically the fundamental right under data protection legislation. And the department didn't give them all the information that they should have provided to them at that time.
And not in a timely manner either. The fine, it's designed to be dissuasive as well to others.
Yes, the purpose of an administrative fine is not... The wording that is in the law says it should be, you know, proportionate and dissuasive and effective. So effective would be to the department, and dissuasive is also to other controllers. So it's sort of sending out that message that we do have that power, and we will use it, particularly where we're talking about fundamental rights such as the right of access to personal data.
And is this the first of its kind? Do you have other cases that are of a similar nature, or is this a bit of a one-off?
Over half of our complaints are to do with the right of access to personal data. This is the first occasion where, really, because the department has had previous history of not complying with the right, that we thought it was appropriate in this occasion to actually set a fine. We haven't come close to setting a fine before this particular case, and it's not that this sets a precedent as such, as in this is what we're going to do on every occasion. We will still be looking at it, and you know, if we are seeing a controller that is seeking to comply with the law, then you know, fines will not be imposed.
The details of all the stories you've heard on this evening's update and more Manx news, interviews, podcasts and the largest store of Manx videos on the internet. Go to manxradio.com, like us on Facebook, follow Manx Radio on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. After the news at 6 o'clock, the final Greatest Hits with Chris Pearson. Sweet and Swing at night with Howard Kane. George Ferguson with The Late Show at 10. Have a great weekend.